But they compromised their walk here for what they wanted. That's where I find myself in most trouble, is when I compromise and I don't seek counsel and I don't go to His word. That's usually where I find most trouble. And how many of us have done that and then we cry out, God, get me out of this one. I'm sorry, I messed up. And I wonder how many things in our life you look back and you said, and I really should have prayed about that. You know, I mean, really pray and say, Lord, is this your will?
Pastor Ben asks that question and many more in the Building Our Foundation series, a verse-by-verse study through the Old Testament book of Ezra, here on In Christ Radio.
In Christ, I can do all things. In Christ, I mount up on eagle's wings. In Christ, I wait for a great reward that I have in store. In Christ.
Last time on In Christ, we saw the journey home to Jerusalem completed with trust, accountability, and worship. Today we continue in the Building Foundation series and arrive to chapter 9 of Ezra, as we go through verses 1 through 15 with the message titled, The Condition Requires Confession. After arriving in Jerusalem, Ezra learns that many of the people, including leaders, have drifted into disobedience and compromise. Instead of ignoring it or managing appearances, Ezra is deeply grieved. He tears his garment, humbles himself, and begins to pray. Ezra doesn't minimize the problem. He names it honestly before God. He remembers God's mercy, acknowledges the people's sin, and recognizes that healing can't begin until truth is faced. What we try to hide cannot be healed. When the condition of the heart is serious, confession becomes the doorway to restoration. As we go through today's lesson, today's question is tough. Is there anything in your life you've been excusing, avoiding, or covering up that God is inviting you to bring honestly before Him today? If you can, grab your Bibles and join me in Ezra chapter 9, verses 1 through 15, in today's title, The Condition Requires Confession. Now here's Pastor Ben.
So in Ezra chapter 8, 32, guess what? Let's look at it real quick. It says, so when they came to Jerusalem, they made it back. They stayed there, how many? 3 days. 3 days. Now, here's what you need to know. They ended a four-month journey from Babylon to Jerusalem. 4 months on the road with this caravan. And together with the entire trip, there's Ezra. They're back in the promised land, and they're in the land promised to their ancestors. And they took a moment, and last week we said this, and I hope you applied it. Last week we said, as they came in from a four-month journey, they rested 3 days. They rested, and how rest is important for us. Let me just say this real quick, and then I'll move on. Okay, we'll move on to chapter 9. Usually, the enemy will attack when you're physically exhausted. And sometimes for us, it's a Thursday night, it's Friday, you're tired, it's been a long week. That is when the enemy will attack. Now, I don't have any statistics, but I bet most fights in couples happen about for Thursday or Friday. we're just tired. And the enemy comes in and we have to be careful. Here's the point. We need to rest. We need to rest. Your Wednesday night here, guys, should be rest. Okay, we're here, we're worshiping, we're getting fed. It shouldn't be a chore. Oh, we have to go to church. It's rest. It's rest. They rested. We're rested. Now let's see what happens. As we come to chapter 9, I'm calling this message, you ready? The condition requires confession, repentance. The condition requires confession, repentance. You go, what was the condition? They were intermarrying with the Canaanites. Okay? Nebuchadnezzar took the Israelites to Babylon, but they brought the Syrians, and it was run with all kinds of people, ungodly people. And now they come back, and look what's going to happen. But remember, there was the prohibition from God written in Deuteronomy chapter 7, not to do this. Deuteronomy 7, 3 and 4 says this, nor shall you make marriages with them. You shall not give your daughter to their son, nor take their son or their daughter for your son. Why? For they will turn your sons away from following me to serve other gods. So the anger of the Lord was aroused against you and destroy you suddenly. Here's what God says. Don't marry. Don't intermarry. Don't do that. You know why? Here's why. Because they're going to turn you away from following Jesus. They're going to turn you away from following Jesus. They're going to turn you away and you're going to serve the Baals. You're going to serve the Astaroths. Don't do that. Well, Israel didn't listen. Why? Because do you remember the reason they Nebuchadnezzar came and took them away, okay, was because of idolatry. They were worshiping other gods. And it seems like from Genesis chapter 3, we've had a hard time up until today just trying to follow God. This is the sin which inevitably resulted in the worship of heathen gods. Okay? So let's talk about the condition. This is verses 1 to 4. Now, I know what you're saying. You're going, Pastor Ben, listen, I'm already married, or I'm not going to marry a Canaanite. I'm not going to marry a Fang from Dang in your story. I understand that. Okay? But understand this. The principle we must grasp is that man has fallen short of God's glory, and we have sinned against the holy God. As a matter of fact, you guys know this, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. So we have the condition. We get that. And in verses 5 through 15, we see the confession. We'll jump over there in just a minute. But Ezra's going to pray a prayer very similar to the one that we find in Daniel 9 and Nehemiah 9. This is also one of the greatest prayers of confession here in the Bible. Now, if you're taking notes, and I highly encourage you, only in verse 6 does Pastor Ezra use the personal pronouns I and my. Ezra associates himself with the guilt of the people. Something's about to go down that is not good. That's where we pick up our story. Ezra 9, 1 through 4 says this. When these things were done, the leaders came to me saying, the people of Israel and the priests and the Levites have not separated themselves from the peoples of the lands. With respect to the abominations of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Perizzites, the Jebusites, the Ammonites, the Moabites, the Egyptians, and the Amorites. What are they doing? For they have taken some of their daughters as wives for themselves and their sons, so that the holy seed is mixed with the peoples of those lands. And notice this, indeed, the hand of the leaders and the rulers have been foremost in this trespass. If you're an underliner, you need to underline that. Why? Well, this is crazy. It says when these things were done, let's unpack it real quick, church. Ezra has been in Jerusalem about 4.5 months. All of a sudden, his officials come to him and say, hey, we got a problem. We got a problem. Well, what's the problem? The leaders, the priests, the Levites, they're starting to intermarry. They've only been there just a little bit. They're having this mixed marriage. And this is a huge problem. But here's what you need to see before we dig a little bit deeper. It says the hand of the leaders. Let's put it this way. The assistant pastors. We're the ones leading that. It's the leader. It's like, okay, well, it's the rulers. It's the leaders, and the rulers have been the foremost of, and whoa, what a sharp conviction that is. Well, that the people follow the spiritual leader in the church. That's why it's a calling. Well, Pastor Sof did it. I guess I could do it. Not that he married, you know, not, yeah, just. Yes, Yvonne's looking at me like, say what? I am not a Canaanite, no. The point is, the leaders were being a bad example. They were being a bad example, and it gets deeper. Why? They've only been there just a little bit. Now, you go, well, Ben, tell me, what's the surface issue? Because God, is God telling me today, like, I can't marry this person or I can't? No. You need to understand the surface issue was that he had promised the Messiah from the holy seed from the children of Israel. Okay? The Messiah had to come from a pure bloodline of the Jewish people. He didn't want the intermixing. So there's a huge prohibition. Don't do that. That's the surface issue. Okay? And once again, if they came in and started marrying the Canaanites, the Perizzites, the Hivites, you know what, the mosquito bites, all of these people, right? Then it was going to taint the bloodline of the Messiah. You see, Mary was pure Jewish when the Holy Spirit impregnated her. And so the bloodline would be compromised. You go, okay. So the surface issue, I see where God's doing that. But he's not going to tell me who I can marry today and not, no, let's get a little bit deeper. The Bible tells us to not be unequally yoked. And that's hard because there have been people who have said, I know better, and they marry an unbeliever, and the next thing you know, there's a struggle. I'm not saying that God doesn't bless that union. God's loving and amazing, but it's far better when you're both believers and you have the same goal. I have seen so many people struggle because the husband wasn't a believer, the wife wasn't a believer, and what do we do? And again, it's just a biblical principle. Now you go, well, now I'm doomed because I married an unbeliever and I'm here. But you can still wash him and sanctify him with the word. So God isn't giving you permission to be like, okay, well, Pastor Ben said I could. That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is that he tells us don't be unequally yoked. But he also tells us, guys, he says, don't be like the world. This is what he's telling us in the first. He says, the world just, hey, how you doing? And he's going after, and they had Deuteronomy, so they knew the word of God. But they compromised their walk here for what they wanted. That's where I find myself in most trouble, is when I compromise and I don't seek counsel and I don't go to his word. That's usually where I find most trouble. And how many of us have done that, and then we cry out, oh, get me out of this one. I'm sorry, I messed up. And the Lord does it so graciously, but still, I wonder how many things in our life you go back, you look back, and you can't change it, but how many things in our life you said, and I really should have prayed about that. I really should. And I don't mean like, Lord Jesus, I pray. You know, I mean really pray and say, Lord, is this your will? Is this what you have for me? Guys, the compromise, the intermarrying, he tells them in Deuteronomy. What does he say in Deuteronomy? He says, for they will turn your sons away from following me, and they're going to worship idols. And that was the sin, church. That was the sin that had plagued Israel before and much later. Let me give you a reference. Just think about this, guys. If you're taking note, do you remember the stories back in Numbers chapter 22 to 25? Israel came up out of Egypt, and Balak hired Balaam to curse Israel. Balaam was unable to do that, so what did he do? He counseled the king of Moab to send immoral women into Israel's camp. Guess what happened? They succeeded, and Israel suffered. You're going, yeah, I remember that. The key word for you and I today is compromise. Compromise. You go, why? Because Webster defines it like this: to accept standards that are lower than desirable. Desirable. To compromise is to make concessions or accommodations for someone who does not agree with the prevalent set of standards or rules. God says, hey, don't intermarry. Don't be like the world. Okay? They're going to change your heart. They're going to turn your heart. I can't help but think of my boy Solomon. You guys, Solomon, the wisest man apart from Jesus, the wisest guy. And what did he do? He had 700 wives and 300 girlfriends. They're concubines, but they're girlfriends. They're And what did they do? They ended up turning their heart that when we look at the scripture, we're like, did Solomon get into heaven? I mean, it turned their heart so bad. You see, and the principle doesn't only apply to marriage, it applies to business. If you have a business partner that's unequally yoked, the business is not going to go. If you have a friend that's unequally yoked, love that friend. We're not to just sit there and go, okay, here's what we're going to do. Ready? Holy huddle. We're going to sing Kumbaya. We're never going to go in the world again. We're not going to talk to anybody. That's not our goal. Our goal is to what? To go out and share. But we have to be careful because it's a biblical principle. You see, the word of God does, it makes it clear that God does not condone compromising his standards. Joyful are the people of integrity who follow the instructions of the Lord. Joyful are those who obey his laws and search for him with all their hearts. They do not compromise with evil, and they walk only in its paths. You have charged us to keep your commandments carefully. Guys, think about this. Think about this in everyday life. Your boss comes to you and says, hey, I want you to do this, this, and this, and it's evil, and it's wrong, and it's compromising. And he sort of gives you that look and says, if you don't do it, we can replace you. We need to do this. We need to make sure the bottom line is this so that we all keep our job. What do we do? Do we compromise our biblical and Christian standard? Or do we say, listen, I can't fudge those numbers. Oh, I can't lose this job. God says, no, I've got you. I'll take care of you. Don't compromise your walk. Why? Because oftentimes, church, the bigger picture is God is building the foundation in people's hearts and they're looking at us. And the church, Pastor Soph, Joseph, Adam, they're looking at us and they're following in that direction. Now, you don't base your walk on the pastor, you base your walk on Jesus. But we have to live a different calling, a higher calling. But this is a big deal. Look at verse 3. So when I heard this thing, what did Ezra do? I tore my garment and my robe, and I plucked out some of the hair of my head and beard and sat down astonished. Then everyone who trembled at the words of God of Israel assembled to me because of the transgression of those who had been carried away captive, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifices. Notice what he does. He says, he got in the meeting. Hey, guess what? This is what's going on. And he says, this is a sign of deep mourning. He tore his garment and his robe. Now, Nehemiah is going to pull out the beard of other people. We're going to see that. But Ezra says, I pulled out my own hair and I pulled out my own beard. This is a big deal. This is how hurt and broken he is. Think about Ezra for just a moment. He just finished a dangerous four-month journey from Babylon. He's home. They should be rejoicing. I can't believe it. And all of a sudden, very quickly, the people are starting to compromise. Very quickly. And I mean, think about this. We just got here. What is wrong with you? I mean, we just got here. And not only that, it's the assistant pastors. It's the leadership. It's the elders. It's all you got. Listen. The foundation of the temple is finished, but we always remember the foundation of our hearts and the building of that is ongoing. It's ongoing. Church, listen, guard your heart from compromise. Guard your heart from these things because it's ongoing. It's ongoing. So what does he do? He sits down astonished. Astonished. I bet one of the reasons that Pastor Ezra sat down is he expressed in the tearing of the garment and the plucking of the beard. This was a deep, deep sign of mourning. And I bet Ezra remembered for half a second the sins of idolatry and compromise that caused the tribes of Israel to be exiled before. He was no doubt wondered how the people could endanger themselves like this again. You know how it is. I can only speak to myself, but it's those times in my life when I've committed that sin and then I did it again and the Lord reminds me, it's like, yeah, you, what did you expect? Oh, Lord. See, this is a very big deal. Now, in our culture, we simply dismiss it. but the implications are huge. You go, how so? Think about this, guys. Put on your thinking caps for a second. If the people intermarry with the Canaanites, that can and does lead to idolatry. How so? It is far easier for someone to pull me down than for me to pull you up. Think about this. Sometimes we have wonderful young adults and later teens that will say, oh, I think he's the one. Well, is he a believer? No, but I'll win him to the Lord. And we call it missionary dating. And we're going to date hoping that we'll convert him to the Lord. And I got to be honest with you, more times than not, they'll pull you into the world than you'll pull them. How so? Well, typical Wednesday night, you go, hey, it's church time. Let's go to church. And he goes, you know what? I thought we would do this tonight. And I got us reservation at this night restaurant. And she goes, oh, okay. Well, we normally go to church. Okay, well, we'll skip church tonight. We'll go because you wanted to. I love you. This is going to be great. And they'll go and they'll do that. And then the next Wednesday it comes and it's what? Hey, are you ready for church? Oh, and eventually what happens is that they pull you back into the world. We need to remember that it was idolatry that caused them to be taken in the first place. Oh, we understand about not, you know, letting the land rest. And God says, this is the timeline because you didn't. But they were worshiping the god of Molech. They were worshiping the god of Ashtaroth. They were worshiping Baal. They were worshiping Mammon. They were worshiping all these foreign gods. And what we learn about the children of Israel is their hearts are not right even now. And they're actually moving fast in the wrong direction. But I love verse 4. Why? Because it says, then everyone who trembled at the words of God of Israel assembled to me. He said, all those people who were like-minded went, oh! And what did they do? He said, because of this transgression, they came to me and they had been carried away captive, and I sat astonished until the evening sacrifice. Matter of fact, he's gonna fast. He's sitting there. Can you imagine? And everybody's looking at him. This is our leader. This is our leader. What is going on? Something's not right. You see, in the community here in Israel, there were those that were horrified at the sin of their community. These who were marked by their respect for God's word assembled together with Ezra. They were the like-minded. Russell Moore wrote in his blog, what I've learned in 20 years of ministry. Here's what he said. At my ordination, an elderly deacon referenced the Bible and my wife saying, son, don't ever get in the pulpit with anything other than any other book than that one. And don't ever get into any bed with any other woman but her, unquote. Wife's counsel. This is what he's saying. He's saying, listen, we were all like-minded. In Christ.
As we come to a close to this episode of In Christ, we're reminded that God is a restorer. He brought his people back from exile, gave them new life in the middle of ruins, and helped them rebuild the spiritual condition of the people on a foundation of grace and obedience. Ezra showed us that restoration isn't instant, and it isn't easy, but it is possible when God is at the center. He rebuilds worship before walls, hearts before homes, and obedience before blessings. Even when the work was slow and opposition was strong, God remained faithful to finish what he began. The same God who restores his people then is still at work today. No matter what feels broken, unfinished, or discouraged in your life, God's grace is enough to revive, restore, and rebuild. Join us next time as Pastor Ben continues in the Building a Foundation series from the book of Ezra. And may you continue to trust God as you return, rebuild, and lay foundations that will last.
Hey guys, Pastor Ben here. Our vision at Calvary Chapel Lubbock is we want to be a place that continually feeds and shepherds the people of God. I want to thank you for taking the time to listen to In Christ Radio, and I'm praying that you were blessed and well-fed by our radio ministry, and by God's grace, this becomes one of those things that continues to build up your faith, encourages your walk with God, as well as fuel your love for Jesus. Would you consider partnering with us financially? It's actually really simple. You could either do it online at inchristradio.com, simply hit the donate button,
If sending a check is more comfortable for you, you can drop one in the mail at In Christ Radio, 4218 Boston Avenue, Lubbock, Texas, 79413. I'm praying that you would fall more deeply in love with Jesus. God bless.
If you missed any of today's show or would like to listen to it again, check out our website, inchristradio.com. There you can find a link to this show, along with this past week's episodes. There is also a link to the Calvary Chapel Lubbock podcast with a whole library of great Bible teachings and teachers. Have a prayer request? Submit yours safely and privately at inchristradio.com. I would like to personally invite you to one of our services. We meet Sunday mornings at 10 a.m., Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m., and Thursdays at 12 for noonday prayer. Did you miss any information? Our website again is inchristradio.com.